Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. We have a good crew here today. We have Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Sorry about that.
And we have Diane Ruffino.
Hello.
Hal and Rainer James.
Hello there.
And we have a special guest. We have North Carolina State Representative from District 3, Michael Speciale.
Welcome. Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Reason we asked you to come on is trying to find out what's going on up here in the new session and what we can look forward to as far as legislation going. You know, we've got our old favorites, of course, we want to check in on, find out about, like Second Amendment, gun legislation. Is there any proposed legislation coming up that you're aware of? And the reason I'm asking that, in today's news, South Dakota, the legislature there passed a bill on Tuesday allowing residents to carry concealed handguns without a permit. That's also known as constitutional carry. And that means they would join 13 other states, including North Dakota. I wish it was North Carolina. North Dakota to allow constitutional carry. And also Representative Brant Smith in Arkansas filed House Resolution 1013 asking them to acknowledge Arkansas as a constitutional carry state and a permit not required to carry, concealed or open. And then Oklahoma could also be coming on board. So are there any moves along those lines here in North Carolina?
We are putting a team together to work on a gun bill. We don't know what will be in it yet until we get started. But yes, we will have a gun bill. Just for the edification of those who don't know, we lost our supermajority, so we do not have a veto-proof majority now. So we have to depend on the governor to make the right decision and sign these bills. However, if he doesn't, you know, that's something that we have to live with now. Whether we can draw a few of the Democrats on our team to override his vetoes or not. But we're not going to sit around and not do anything. We're going to put in all the stuff that the people elected us to do, which would be, you know, restoring your gun rights, you know, more and more each time. The same types of bills that we've been putting in, you're going to continue to see them.
Okay, you mentioned that you lost your supermajority. Do you have any personal opinion on how that came about here in North Carolina? Is it just pure apathy, or what caused that to happen?
Well, I think some of it, most of the ones that we lost all but one legislator from Mecklenburg and Wake. So, in the cities, of course, there are more Democrats. They came out in force in those particular areas. So the only one that survived, believe it or not, is the one that put in the HB2 bill. He's the only one survived out of all of them. And the reasoning is that there was the turnout. I mean, they just turned out. So for those people who don't feel that their vote counts, it certainly counted in those counties.
Absolutely. Do you feel like there were any issues with voter irregularities, voter fraud maybe? Or?
Well, I mean, I've heard the allegations in some areas, and I know that they were digging to find out what's going on. And you know, I do believe that there are things going on in the state that we've yet to find out about, but we do have some good folks, Voter Integrity Project and a few other folks, that are looking into these things. And as we find out what's happening, we'll deal with them at that point.
How about outside influence from outside North Carolina? Are y'all seeing a lot of that up around Raleigh?
Extreme amount of outside influence, yeah. Everything we do is under a microscope nationwide. North Carolina is one of the states, is the state to watch based on the things that we've done over the last few years. For those who don't know that, yes, the tax bill that the federal government did, the tax reduction, that was, they used North Carolina's tax reduction bill as their template. So, you know, everything we do here, they're coming after us, as in the HB2, this and that. all that happened because if it would have survived here, and HB 2 is the bathroom bill, if it would have survived here, there were other states that were preparing to do the same thing. So anytime any of the states gets something successful that the other side doesn't like, you can bet they're going to be targeted.
All right. Well, we had another a number of constitutional amendments on the ballot this time, one of those being the voter ID bill. And I think y'all were working on the legislation to go into place to enforce that or put that into practice. Where do we stand on that?
That legislation was completed last month. We passed it last month, overrode the governor's veto. So it's in place. But we had it came in for special session in order to do that while we still had our veto override majority.
Okay. Are there any signs of appeals or being
Within 15 minutes of us passing the bill, there was a court. It was brought to the courts. So
okay.
We're waiting on that, see what happens. We have our folks that are fighting it, and so we'll just see what happens as it goes along.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Let's talk a little bit about education. There's a lot going on in education, not just here in North Carolina, but across the country, and it's not all good, in my opinion. There's a lot of attempt to socialize our education by doing social engineering through liberal agendas in a lot of our schools and colleges. There's another thing that I thought was a very great, wonderful piece of legislation that passed several years back, and that was House Bill 588, which was the Founding Principles Act, which I saw as a way to offset some of the political correctness and the indoctrination that was going on in the schools, because it required to teach the founding principles, the founding documents, who the founding fathers were, how our country was built, the foundation it was built on. It even called out, you know, such things as the Magna Carta and the Ten Commandments, and you know, all those things were supposed to be taught in the high schools. But I'm not seeing where that's being enforced, and I'm hoping that the legislature will be able to take that up again and try to come up with some way to make sure that does get enforced. But you were talking earlier in a conversation about the impact that the hurricane has had on our school systems, and how do we get anything done when we're trying to recover from that? Because, you know, there's a lot of money required for that. And I know you're focusing on Craven County, especially. There's still a number of schools here. It's just, how do you handle all that, Michael? Where do you start at?
Well, you know, my focus is on Craven County, is on the schools here. We have appropriated about $800 million so far, but a lot of that was seed money, a lot of that was upfront money, a lot of that was federal matching grants. Some of it was, it takes a while to collect on insurance. Some of the school systems had insurance, but some of them didn't have enough, and they needed to fix these buildings. You can't wait for months for the insurance money to come in, so we gave them upfront money. Once we appropriate the money, it's turned over to different organizations like Golden Leaf. DPI had control of some of it, and then it's up to them to distribute it. As it's needed. So we don't, you know, a lot of times we don't get to see what actually happened to it, where it was actually distributed. But I know that Craven has been a beneficiary of some of the money, millions in money, and they've been able to make some progress in the schools, though we still have a long way to go.
Good. Hey, I know it's a challenging task. The teachers are demanding more pay raises, and, you know, there's only a limited amount of money to work with, and I just admire you guys for being able to muddle through all that mess. Well, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, I'm going to let some of our other panel members ask Michael some questions. I know that Rainer especially probably has a number, since she is chair of our Legislative Action Committee, now that's changing hands, so we'll talk about that a little bit. But let's hear from our sponsors, and please visit them. Tell them you heard about them here on CCTA Wake Up Call.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Hal, you had a question you'd like to place on Michael's table.
Yeah, you know, I've seen a lot of news articles written recently about our state treasurer, Dale Falwell, being concerned about the health industry and how they seem to have a monopoly and have and earn excessive profits and things like that. I've also seen the auditor Beth Woods making comments about those kind of things, and we have often proposed doing away with the certificate of need to help get more competition among the health industry. When do you think there's any chance that something that would help with that situation might come out of the legislature this time?
I've got a bill that I'm working on right now to exempt ophthalmologists from the certificate of need. And right now, if you go to an ophthalmologist, they can do part of it in their office, but then they've got to go to the hospital and they've got to rent their surgery room in order to do the rest of it because of the con laws. They don't have to do it for Medicaid and Medicare, but they do have to do it for the state health plan and for other insurance because of the con law. So one of them in particular that I know has his own surgery room. He charges $900 to use that room for those people that he's able to do it legally. But the rest of them have to. He's got to rent the hospital emergency room, and it can be anywhere from $4,000 to $8,000 to rent that room. So to get your cataracts or anything done like that, I mean the amount of money, the difference in the amount of money that having con laws and not having con laws makes is tremendous. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that we can get this through. As far as the entire system of con laws, I don't. We've tried before. I don't foresee there being a bill to try and dismantle the entire system. They did a study a few years ago, and it's like a Gordian knot. It's so intertwined in the system. There's a lot of folks are afraid of what it would do to our healthcare system if we just dismantled it immediately.
May I suggest that it's really something else? And I'm being real cynical here, but the hospitals are making a lot of money. Because they are the ones that are sitting on most of the certificates of need. They are fighting tooth and nail and trying to sell ideas that just aren't true.
Yeah, they also sent an army of lobbyists up to the state legislature to bend arms, twist arms, and things like that.
And making contributions.
I was going to say they cut a lot of checks during campaign season, so yeah, that's a part of it. A lot of the certificates... For those who don't understand, you can't add any beds, you can't add any major equipment, you can't do anything without this certificate. Basically, the state is determining whether or not there's a need for that. This is an antiquated system that was set up by the federal government years ago. It didn't take them long to determine that it didn't work the way it was planned. It was supposed to cut costs so you wouldn't have too much money invested in areas and not being used. It didn't work. We all know that. Anyone that's understands a free enterprise system would know that that type of system won't work. And the states were told to dismantle it. North Carolina and a few others did not.
Right. Most of them have, though.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's happening now is you have major hospitals that will go in and request certificates for MRI machines, for hospital beds, for these types of things. The certificate is good for 5 years. They may have no intention of actually using that certificate, but it keeps it off the market. It keeps it the local doctors groups and stuff who want to start put an MRI machine in their local doctor's office. It keeps them from being able to do that. So now it restricts. It's a monopoly, and it restricts your access to health care, and it raises your costs. So it's something that needs to be dismantled.
The terrible effect of it was, a good example of it is up at the Bellhaven Hospital. It was a community hospital. Biden came in and bought the community hospital and then bulldozed it down and make the patients have to go all the way to Greenville, I guess it is, to get their medical care. But just because it's more profitable to Biden. That's the only reason.
Well, and one of the reasons for keeping the con laws based on, the hospital lobbyists and the hospitals, they say that... it's the only way that they can afford to continue to support these small hospitals. The only problem with that is that they're closing the small hospitals.
That's right.
They're buying them out and then closing them. And so that argument just doesn't wash.
Absolutely.
Raina?
I want to shift gears a minute. You mentioned just a minute ago that I'm chairman of the State Legislative Action Committee. Well, I've enjoyed doing that job for a number of years now. But we've got exciting news. Diane Ruffino has agreed to take chairmanship of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And she is very passionate on the subject, a lot younger than I am, and I expect the amount of work we do to get beefed up. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
She has high expectations, but I thank you for your trust in me and for asking me to take over.
You'll
this.
Earn it. You have earned it. You I have no doubts.
I am very passionate about our voice being represented in government and having that interaction with members, our representatives, to get our voice heard. So I'm glad to help in that way.
And with that being said, go to cctaxpayers.com. There's a feedback button there. If you've got an issue you want to talk about with the legislators or, interact with, we'll get word to Diane. And we need to set you up a CC Taxpayers email address.
Absolutely. And I already got my first email yesterday on something they would like me to propose to our legislators.
Okay.
It's a long email, by the way.
Well, we'll get that set
keep
up for you. In the meantime, just go to our feedback button on the website.
Yeah.
Let us know what you want Diane to look at. Who else had a question? Go ahead.
With that HB2, right, the HB2 bill, which is the bathroom bill, I had heard that a similar bill may be brought up again this term. Have you heard anything about that?
I'm not aware of it. Certainly, it's entirely possible. We're going to see. We'll probably see a lot more things this time than we've seen in the past because of the makeup of the General Assembly, both good and both bad.
Michael, in an earlier conversation, you enlightened me a lot on how you could follow what goes on in the General Assembly, even if you don't actually go up there. Would you mind telling our listening audience a little bit about how that can be accomplished?
Yeah, if you don't mind, if I could start off by saying that the CCTA is a very effective organization, and they, the folks in CCTA and folks like the CCTA folks are what makes government work in this area. CCTA is very well known up in Raleigh in the legislature. They've been very tenacious over the last few years in helping to pass legislation or helping to suppress other legislation. Actually, Craven County in Eastern Carolina has been very active in Raleigh, and for that I appreciate it, because as your representative, I've got one vote, okay? So I need help convincing, we've got to turn other legislators and other senators, we've got to turn them to think about things the way we do, and the way that happens is people going up there. One of the ways that you can get information is certainly is the General Assembly's website, ncleg.net. You can go on there and you can look at the bills. When we start putting in bills, like we're doing now at the beginning of the session, you can see which bills were put in each day. You can read the bills. You can find out which committees they're on. You can go in there and request to be notified when that bill moves. Every time it moves from one committee to the next or there's any action on the bill, they'll send you an email. If you want to get involved and keep up with specific committees, you can do the same thing, and they will let you know when there's committee meetings and what bills will be seen or heard at that particular committee. All of our committees are open to the public, and you're welcome to come up there and attend the committee meetings and see how your government is working, or in some cases, how it's not working.
All right. There's also audio feeds from when the House is in session, so if you want to actually just sit in and listen to that, you can do that.
You can listen real time all around the floor, and then you can, and we archive, the House does, the Senate doesn't, but we archive ours, so you can go back to any day over the last several years and pull up that day's.
So when somebody tells you, did you hear what Michael Speciale said?
What day was it?
Yeah. If you do it that way, you can fast forward through the parts you're not very much interested in and catch the rest of them.
Right. Well, it is a great tool that they have for us to be able to go up and find out what legislation is going on and help participate in the process.
The new House of Representatives that is starting its session now, how would you say that differs from what was there before? How do the members differ? What do you think the priorities are that will be different? What changed?
Well, a lot is going to change. And it's simply the way we do business is going to change. We had a supermajority before. So we, as Republicans, we knew that we could pass whatever we wanted to. We knew that we could kill anything that was put in by the Democrats. And it made a difference in the way we think. It made a difference in the way we act. It's right now what you have is a 65-55 split in the House. So the Democrats have gained some folks, and we've lost about 10 folks. So it's going to make us work a little bit better. Honestly, the people of North Carolina benefit because hopefully we'll have better legislation. We'll get some better arguments, better discussions. Some of the stuff, when you have a supermajority, a lot of times people give up that are on the other side, and the vitriolic comments that come out. I mean, it's just a lot of it is not good debate. It doesn't add to, what's said doesn't add to the debate. I think that some of that will go by the wayside here, and I think we'll actually get better debate because everybody will believe there's a possibility that they can get this bill through or that bill through, and they'll have more influence.
Now, one of the things that in some other states has come up recently is laws regarding abortion. Do you see that coming to North Carolina?
Well, we've always, each session, we've done something on it. I don't see where this session will be any different. Now, whether we get it past the governor's veto or not, it's hard to tell, but the bottom line is if he vetoes it, he's going to have to stand up for his and explain it to people. Whatever we put in, he's going to have to explain his position on it. So
now, what direction do you see the legislation going?
I'm not sure I understand.
In terms of abortion, do you see more restrictions or do you see more leniency?
I don't think we're going to be going in a direction of leniency where, you know, the Republicans are the power in charge, and we're, as a group, we're not supportive of abortion. So within the confines of what the Supreme Court has.
So we're not going in the direction of Virginia or New York?
No.
Okay.
No, I can guarantee you that. Everybody in the state will know about it before it happens, so you've got time to get up there and jump up and down and make some noise.
Well, there's a lot going on also, Michael, with our coastal waters at the federal level and locally too. So we'll talk a little bit about that, what's planned for the year.
Well, I would imagine that we'll see another game fish bill. We've had those in the past. My opinion, my position on it is that game fish bills are bad for North Carolina. I mean, they're bad for our commercial fishermen, and they're bad for even our sport fishermen. The game fish bill basically limits the catch of certain types of fish to a rod and a reel. The problem with that is there's been no biological survey since the 1990s, so a lot of it is based on anecdotal evidence or hearsay. Folks saying, well, you know, I used to catch them this big, and now I'm only catching these little ones. And, you know, my thought is, well, you know, you're doing something wrong. You need to learn how to fish. but to say that we should restrict it and you can't get it on your dinner plate unless you buy it from China, it makes no sense when there's no scientific evidence. And that was the whole point of putting together Division of Marine Fisheries, is so that they would use science to determine what needs to be done. I think in large part, what's been done has helped. North Carolina, I believe, is in good shape from all the reports and the things that I hear, that our coastal waters are in good shape. There are obviously things we could be concerned about, but again, we shouldn't be making changes, and I fight those changes, and I fought the game fish bills until they were dead, because we shouldn't be making changes without scientific evidence. It shouldn't be based on anecdotal evidence.
I agree. Well, we're going to take another break real quick to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, the place where patriots come to talk.
Rainer, I think you had your hand up before the break.
Well, I just thought that it would be a great idea if the little story that Bob just told about his friend Megan, if he could repeat it on air.
Sure, I'll repeat. It was about fishing. Now Megan has worked out on a number of fishing boats. She's up in Massachusetts and watched the fishing industry being destroyed in the southern part of Massachusetts. NOAA came by and to do a fish census, and they for the yellowtail flounder. And they fished at the wrong depth, at the wrong time of the day, and at the wrong speed. And then they used that as their census number to say, oh, the fish are disappearing. If you went and asked the actual commercial fishermen, they know how to find the fish.
I think it's outrageous that things like that go on, and they do go on.
They do. And they've the feds have made it pretty difficult for the local fishermen to do their jobs.
Not only the feds, but here in North Carolina, we've got some North Carolinians working to make it difficult.
Right.
And that just really needs to change.
Well, the one thing that got my goat was you've got a boat, you're out here trying to earn a living, and now you've got to have federal agents on your craft watching over what's going on, and you got to pay them.
The enemy within.
Michael, related to that, is there any talk or any chess pieces moving around relative to offshore drilling?
I haven't heard anything, but again, we just, we were only in session for 2 days this week, one of them was a no vote session, so we didn't get a lot of time. So I don't. People are still turning in bills, so we may see some.
I think we may hear something about that in the future here on Wake Up Call, because I got an email and passed it on to Rick from a commercial fisherman that said he'd like to be interviewed on our radio show. And then Glenn Skinner, who's the director of the North Carolina Fisheries Association, he said he would also like to appear on our show. So I think we'll be hearing some more on those things.
We will. Okay. Well, Michael, we appreciate you coming in today. Is there anything you want to share with us without us having to question you about it?
Well, just that we're up there doing it. We need to hear from you. I need to hear from you. Your rest of your representatives need to hear from you and know what you think, because right now we're putting the bills together, as to what we're going to be doing this year. And don't hesitate to call our office and let us know what you think. That's why we're there. We represent you.
What's your preferred method of communications? Is it a phone call, an email?
The emails, I do see all the emails. The phone calls are great. They certainly get our attention a lot quicker.
And then again, if they go to ncleg.net and look for you there, it'll give them the contact information they need.
It'll give them my contact information, and that's how you can keep up with what I'm doing, because you can pull up. There's a tab there that says which committees I'm on. There's a tab there that tells you what bills I've submitted, there's a tab that tells you how I voted. It even tells you how everybody else voted. So you can see if I'm voting with or against the majority of folks up there. And I can tell you right now that I vote what I believe represents the interests of this district, and not what represents the interests of anything else, the party or the caucus or anything else.
All right.
So you need to understand that.
Well, you're very familiar with CCTA, so you're familiar with the fact that we are a nonpartisan group. We like to have you come in because you're one of the few that if we invite, we actually get a response from. But as far as the House right now is set up, forgetting about Democrat or Republican, we're a conservative group. And as far as conservative values and people that adhere to the conservative principles, how's it looking as far as that? Have we gained in that area, or are we losing in that area?
Well, I mean, we've got a mix of, you know, it depends if you're talking social conservative or you're talking fiscal conservative, because there's a huge mix. There's a small number of us that are on both sides of that, you know, social and conservative, a very small number. But the way that in order to stop a bill last time, we needed 16 people to vote with us, okay, because we had 75 Republicans. So in order to kill a bill, we had to get it down to 60 or below. Now we're at 65, which means personally I only need four other people to support me in killing a bill. I'm using that killing a bill as an example in order to get it done. So my vote becomes much more important for Craven County than it was when we had a supermajority, because like I said, it took 16 people to make a change on what's going on. So I think it's going to be an interesting session. I think, you know, we'll be able to get a lot more done, and keep a watch on us.
Well, that sounds enlightening, because the reason I asked the question is at the national level, you know, we've got we picked up in Congress some socialists and some extremists that it's really scary that our houses of government are comprised of those. Hal, you had a question?
You asked it.
I did.
You sure did. I was thinking the same thing.
As far as conservatives, I will be starting the Freedom Caucus again. I started it 2 years ago, but it was a joint caucus, and trying to get the Senate to get involved was a little harder. So I'm going to start it up again this year, but I'm going to make it a House caucus so that I don't have to wrestle trying to get the Senate involved. Once we determine what we're going to do, then we could approach the Senate.
Okay. Well, keep us informed on how that goes.
Do you have a name for that caucus?
The Freedom Caucus.
Just Freedom yes. Caucus. It's like the national one.
Yes.
Great.
Sounds good. Diane, did you have anything else?
No.
Mary? Bob? Wow. Looks like you answered everybody's questions.
Well, temporarily. This won't last.
Temporarily? Well, I have a lot that I'm curious about as far as what's going on up there now under our current governor, like with our election board. You know, some of those things, I just think it's totally no excuse for the fact that we go without an election board seated, and especially with all the problems we're having right now. So hopefully some of that stuff will get cleared up. I have a lot of issues with the voters out here. You put legislation out there, you put amendments out there, they get voted on, they pass, and then they immediately go to court, and some unelected federal judge or whatever will overturn it, and that goes totally against the will of the people. I'm hoping we can resolve
the
some of that.
The courts have been very badly abused for quite some time now, but I think that President Trump is getting some more conservative people appointed, and maybe that will gradually change.
Well, I know people get frustrated, but one thing I don't want them to do is get apathetic, because I think what we've talked about here today is good illustration, and Michael said it is getting out and voting, being part of it. Hal?
Well, and one that we haven't mentioned, I don't believe, is a Common Core. And as you know, CCTA put up a heck of a battle against Common Core in the past. And it seems that it sort of just died down. You know, they got the name changed. But as far as the procedures in the schools, I guess they're still using that Common Core math and some of the, what do they call it, advanced placement courses that we objected to and things like that. Do you see any change in the future on that?
We had a bill in this last session, and we actually entitled it a bill to actually get rid of Common Core. The bill was put out by Representative Larry Pittman. I was a primary sponsor on it with him. The bill didn't go anywhere. There were a lot of bills, a lot of good bills that didn't go anywhere. And I think part of it last session, I think part of it was because the Senate did things a little bit differently in how they handled bills, and I think that slowed the process down. And so we're probably going to, well, we are going to submit the bill again this time and see if we can't get it to move.
I think you mentioned earlier that the way the Senate is handling bills has changed and that you don't expect it to have the brakes on quite as badly as it did last session.
We're hoping that they learned from the way they did it last time. And they're able to move the bills. They were putting everything into one committee, and then that committee chairman was expected to farm the bills out to the appropriate committees from there. But when you're talking about, you know, the House, you know, we may put in 1,200 or more bills. That's a big job. The way the House, when we get a bill, we put a bill in, or it comes from the Senate, it's immediately sent to the correct committee. We don't send it to Rules. And then farm it out from there. So that saves a lot of time and a lot of effort, and it allows the chairman to actually take those bills, because the chairman of each committee determine which bills they're going to work on and when they're going to do it. So it lets them go ahead and move forward. But doing it the way the Senate does it, it kind of stifled things a little bit.
I think I remember from the last session that most representatives were expected to put in 3 bills. Is that right? There's no limit on the number of bills a particular one can submit?
The Senate doesn't have a limit, but there's only 50 senators. The House, we have a limit of 15.
15?
Yeah. We had a limit of 10, and with 120 people, that's 1,200 bills. Yeah. Wow. We did raise it at the request of some of the folks. We raised it to 15, but that doesn't include constitutional bills. That doesn't include local bills. But I've put in more than 20 bills. Because we can get, I don't know what you want to call them, the chits, tickets, whatever, from someone else who's not going to put
in bills. I was going to say, can you get credits from me?
Yeah, we can get credits, yeah, from someone else. So, I mean, I think last session I put
credits.
In, I think I put 20 bills in last session.
Back to education. I just read, I think, yesterday or this morning that Governor DeSantis in Florida signed a bill eliminating Common Core from Florida, which is a step in the right direction. And I hope North Carolina will look at what they did maybe as a blueprint to, you know, eliminate Common Core, even though it's under a different name, but the general approach is the same in our education system. And also, that bill that would never move forward, I don't understand why it wouldn't, because the legislature, you know, they set up a committee a couple years ago, and they took comments or questions and testimony, and that was open to the public. I think there were 3 of them. I attended 2 out of them. But I think the consensus after those 3 sessions was that Common Core needed to go. And if you have that, I mean, why open it to the public? Why go through all that exercise if you're just going to disregard it anyway? So because the bill wanted to get rid of, you know, go further with Common Core elimination, and you had the committee saying, yeah, let's do it, why did they kill the bill? It just doesn't...
Again...
It frustrates, you know, people who have their kids in schools and people who really genuinely are interested in an education system and who kind of took their attention off because, the legislature said they were going to eliminate it. So then, they're going to do the right thing.
Well, it ended up being a name change, actually. So.
Yeah.
And it really, you know, when you put in a bill, it doesn't just move on its own.
You have to be able
to focus on it. And so a lot of things going on, and you don't necessarily get the time. The gentleman to put the bill in, and I don't know how much time he used trying to get it going. And, of course, I had a bunch of bills of my own. So, but I think we need to focus on getting it through, because Rick is right. It was basically rebranded, and the bill was. I was on that bill along with the gentleman that put it in, and we were freshmen at the time. Okay, so we were still learning how things work, and there were things that happened that they did. Some of the senior folks there ultimately the bill ended up just basically giving them the authority to rebrand it as opposed to replace it. But we know better now. We know what we're doing now.
Yeah.
And we know that the tricks and of the trade,
they
won't be able to pull on us again.
Yeah, and we appreciate that.
Well, you know, CCTA had a committee there at all those meetings when they had this group formed to study the situation. And they'd established subcommittees, one to study the, I think, English and so forth, and the other one to study the math input. So both these subcommittees kept reporting back to the whole group. Both of them sounded like they were kind of going the way we wanted to change Common Core. But then when it came to a vote, the people that had been appointed to that board to make the final vote, a lot of those had been fairly silent during the whole proceedings. And oftentimes not present, exactly right. And they turned around and voted against the recommendation of the subcommittees. That was a disgusting mess.
Well, I think it's a very good example of why people cannot become apathetic.
Yes.
Because you think you've made a little progress, and then you kind of back off and you get doing something else and you're not pushing. Your elected officials need to hear from you regularly. And if you want to make sure it happens, you, your family, your friends, your neighbors, you need to be involved in the process. Talking about Common Core, it doesn't start at the legislature. You start at your school board. You got to push all the way up the chain. You got to get involved locally in your city, in your county. There's a lot you can do there. Your county commissioners, as far as the schools go and the funding, you need to be involved in that aspect of it. Yes, Rainer.
I think we need to take this opportunity to invite people who are concerned about those kinds of things to come join us at CCTA. There's a place they can put their oar in, and we'd welcome them with open arms.
Absolutely. We have a number of committees that address all these different issues, and there's plenty of open spots there. Mary?
We also need to remind people that if you have children in school, it's a good idea to go to the school board meetings and to stay after they have their little recess after the awards to see what is actually going on.
Right. They usually empty the house of parents.
Yes.
And you need to voice your opinion. And this last election, when we had a number of school board people positions up, we had people running that stood up and said they would oppose the non-disclosure agreement that the school board had.
Yes, thank heavens. Yeah. I've never heard that anyone say that before.
Unfortunately, they didn't get elected.
No, but...
But that's a very... You need to think about that. You've got a board that's marching in lockstep with the chairman or whoever, and they can't speak independently. They can't have their own opinions. They all have to agree on one thing. That's not the way to do things.
And as you're saying right now, they all have to agree on one thing. How did they come to this agreement without having a public meeting?
Right.
Well, good one. I think one thing that contributes to that.
Now, we're talking about Craven County School Board.
So. Right, exactly.
But, Rick, we've been to some other county school boards. Carbon copies.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, what I was going to say is that one of the things I think contributes to that is that a person has to... If there are more than three people running for the same district in the school boards, then they have to have a primary to get it down to two. And then they got to run countywide. Well, who has a lot of control over the counties? The school administrators, the school teachers, and people like that. And so the chairman of the school board will use the school system's information distribution systems to tout the candidates they want elected. And that I think if they had to be... If they could just be elected from their district, period, no countywide run, I think we'd be a lot more effective in electing people who are constitutionally conservative.
This brings us back to the legislature. Michael, would it be possible to do a local bill that changed the way school board members are elected in Craven County?
Yeah. I mean, that can be done. It's nothing that... I've been approached on up to this point, but
you're being approached.
Being approached.
I like that we can though, because the system is skewed to favor the school board. The school system.
It is. That's the only countywide organization that is focused on the schools. So it's a natural outgrowth of that. But it needs to be what parents and people who pay the bills.
Well, government is supposed to serve the people, and we have to get away from government serving itself and put it back where on that on the balance where it belongs, where the people are a driving force.
Right. And, if you're only going to listen to one voice, then why have a board anyway?
Yeah.
I might point out your previous school board chairman here in Craven County served for over 20 years. So
that's when they start thinking they know better than everybody else.
Yeah, let me remind everybody that your elected officials, and that includes your school board, works directly for you. None of us, not the sheriff, not the county commissioners, not the school board, none of us have a boss except for you, period.
Absolutely.
So I don't understand how they were getting them to sign that document to begin with, because the chairman, or, I mean, the Speaker of the House is not my boss.
All right.
Ask him. He will tell you that. He knows.
You've informed him.
There's got to be some implicit coercion or something.
I can answer your question, Michael. We the people allowed it to happen. We allowed it to continue to happen. That's why I'm saying
it's time for us to disallow.
It is. It's time for people to get involved. We've got to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security, LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills.
To find the date of our next class, visit our website at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com.
Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we've had a very enjoyable time.
Sure we have.
We've had a good time today talking with State Representative Michael Speciale from the 3rd District. And Michael, again, thank you for coming in and sharing with us.
You're here.
Keep up with Michael at ncleg.net. You can keep up with all your representatives there. find out what the current legislation being looked at and proposed is, and you can even listen in to the House on live feed when they're in session. So it's a very good tool and a very good resource. I recommend that you use that. Also, while you're on that site, take advantage of being able to email or look up the phone numbers of your representatives and constantly stay in contact with them. That's how they know how they need to work up there, is what their constituents are telling them they want done, because they were elected to represent you and do what you would like them to do, but you have to let them know where you come down on certain issues.
Oh, so, you mean they can't automatically read your mind?
Well, some of them might think they can. I don't know.
You know, I was going to add, just to reinforce what you're saying, and make sure you contact them whether they like being contacted or not. Still contact them.
Right. And not just your own party. Reach across and contact the opposition. You may change their minds, you know, when they see where the public stands on certain issues, because a lot of these public opinion polls you see out there are totally inaccurate. They're rigged from the beginning, you know, on who
they're polling. Well, look at what the poll showed before the election in 2016, for heaven's sake.
So would you rather have a representative looking at some rigged poll to decide on how he should vote on a certain issue, or would you rather have him looking at the correspondence he's getting from his constituents?
Is that a rhetorical question?
or better yet, look into people's faces, their eyes, you know, their expressions.
And you can do that if you join us on some of our trips up to Raleigh when we go to participate in the process.
And I just wanted to make one suggestion, and that is, you don't change minds if you make somebody angry. So for heaven's sakes, be clear, but be polite.
All right. All right. Well, it's about all the time we have for today's show. Again, thank you for joining in and listening. And please take time to listen to our sponsors' commercials. Go out and support them and thank them for supporting us.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, also the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.